Hey there, everybody. It is November the 16th, 2011, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken. As always, you can drop us a line at thisshowissogay@aol.com. Every email gets answered, of course. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to learn about all the fun things happening with our dog and pony little gay radio show. And of course, go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. You might notice that the sound is a little bit different. This is our first time taking This Show Is So Gay on the road. We are actually on the road right now. There's singing
literally
happening. All right, let's introduce everybody who is in this car ride of fun. Driver's seat, please introduce yourself.
I'm Alex Fisher.
There you go. Front passenger seat. You okay up there?
HB Lizzie Doe reporting for duty.
HB in the car to my right.
Justin I.
Justin making a first appearance on This Show Is So Gay.
Cameo, you might call it. Cameo.
Look at that. And then in the back behind me, we have Arrow, we have Dreidel, their dogs. When you hear the jingling, it means they say down with anti-gay people. So that's basically what's happening in the back right there. So where are we going, HB? We are on the road, literally on the road. And I should assure people that Alex, because last time I did a guest interview with someone and they were driving and someone got really upset, as naturally they would, because I didn't even realize they weren't using hands-free, so they were driving unsafely. So this is, Alex, you have both hands on the wheel?
Both hands on the wheel, both eyes straight ahead.
All right. Good job. Now, HB, where are we going?
We're going to the Trans Day of Remembrance event in Greenfield, which we were just talking about. Is maybe today is not National Trans Day of Remembrance, but it will be in Western Mass and Southern Vermont. And a friend of mine was telling me that some of her students actually organized this event, so I'm excited to go and maybe meet some of them and see what it's like.
Great. Now, what are you expecting to see there, HB?
When I've been to these in the past, it's usually a stage and people talking about either people that they've known in the past year that bad things have happened to, or their own experience, or empowering things about trans people or about their own experiences, like I said. So most of those kinds of things, candles maybe, gay people and allies and trans people and allies. That's what I'm expecting.
All right. And what emotions are going through your head right now as we go to Trans Day of Remembrance in Greenfield, Massachusetts? Alex.
A mixture of, you know, sadness and anger and disappointment at the reality of needing a day to remember those that have been killed or harassed because they're trans via hate crimes. Also a moment of like love and appreciation for queer community and trans community and the empowerment that can happen simply by coming together. Also it's raining and I just don't really like the rain.
But both hands are on the wheel.
Both hands are on the wheel, both eyes are gaily forward.
Okay, that's what I like. Justin, you're gonna participate a little. Oh, I got a look. By the way, got a little bit of a look from Justin.
I don't like being put on the spot.
I know, except here you are, because you're in the back seat. It's either you or Dreidel, so I'm going with you right now.
Yeah.
What are you hoping to get out of Trans Day of Remembrance, what we're going to right now?
I'm hoping to feel empowered a little bit, learn some stories, meet some people, broaden our community a little bit. That's about it.
All right.
Time.
There you go. Hey, you guys want to hear a fun story? Not fun, but a really great story that's apropos
most of
for today.
Stories aren't fun.
No, this one's good. This one's really good. And it's apropos.
We
are going to Massachusetts right now. And did you hear what happened in Massachusetts today?
No.
A bill that protects transgender people in Massachusetts from discrimination and hate crimes has been passed in both houses of the state legislature. It is not yet known exactly when Governor Deval Patrick, who supports the bill, will sign it. The bill amends the state's non-discrimination statute and existing hate crimes law to include gender identity and expression.
Okay.
13 other states in Washington, D.C. have passed similar bills. And this is a quote from State Representative Carl Ciartino Jr. He said, quote, transgender individuals in Massachusetts face unacceptably high levels of violence and discrimination in their daily lives. This bill will extend our statutory civil rights and hate crime protections to the transgender community. The bill, which was first filed in 2007, took 4 years, drew strong opposition from such groups such as the Massachusetts Family Institute, which, quote, strongly opposes any effort by political activists to normalize homosexual behavior and all attempts to equate homosexuality with immutable characteristics such as skin color. Roughly 33,000 people in Massachusetts identify themselves as transgender. Roughly 20,000 of them will be there tonight at the Greenfield Trans... No? Okay. That would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing. A 2009 survey by the National Center for Transgender Equality, with Mara Kiesling as their executive director, who's been on this show, and the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, found that 97% of transgender people reported they were harassed or mistreated at work because of their gender identity or expression.
Oh, yeah.
And 47... We're not supporting that. We're just recognizing that it's true. Okay. I thought that was a yay.
No, I agree with that.
You finally get Justin to talk, and Justin's cheering at inappropriate moments. Okay. 47% reported they were denied a job or promotion or fired.
Just dreidel.
Oh, okay. Dreidel is not into that at all. We agree, dreidel. And the last quote. That's funny. I've never had pet participation before... How did this show is so gay taping?
She is a vocal dog.
Dog and pony. I know. One more. I'm just going really quickly past that HB. So Gunnar Scott, who is the president of the Transgender Political Coalition, said, quote, I think it's very difficult for transgender people to be out as transgender. They risk losing employment, housing, credit, family support, and even the opportunity to go to school. So this bill is a really big deal.
Yes, it is.
We are very happy about this bill,
yes,
and we hope people know about it. So we're on our way right now. We're on our way to Greenfield. We are in the car. Alex is driving somewhat safely, and we are going to go to the Trans Day of Remembrance, and the goal is we are going to interview some people there and talk about what the Trans Day of Remembrance means to them. And that's the plan for this week's show. Are we all on board for this week's show?
Yeah!
Dreidel? And of course, now Dreidel's quiet. All right, enjoy this song. We'll be back with you in a few seconds.
One boy, one boy. One boy, one boy, one boy. One boy, one special boy. One boy to go with, to talk with, and walk with. One boy, that's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be. One boy.
One boy, one certain boy. One boy to laugh with, to joke with, have coke with. One boy, not a two or a three.
Not two or three.
Oh, one day you find out this is what life is all about. You need someone who is living just for you. One steady boy, one boy to be with forever and ever. One boy, that's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be. Oh, one guy,
one guy,
one guy,
one guy,
one guy,
one guy, one guy, one special guy.
All right, folks, and we are back. I'm joined by a ton of people here. Everybody say hi.
Hi.
And art and food, and there were candles and songs and poems. But let's start out. Tell me your name and what your role is with tonight's event.
All right, I'm Caroline Voiles. I'm the LGBTQ coordinator of Community Action Youth Programs in Western Massachusetts.
And what happened tonight?
Today, two of our youth programs, Generation Q and TREE, TREE stands for Trans Rights, Education, and Empowerment. Generation Q and TREE hosted their third annual Trans Day of Remembrance. Which is actually the first transgender day of remembrance that has happened in Franklin County.
Wow.
So, yes.
Okay. And so what did people miss already? What's gone on tonight? There were candles?
There were candles. We had over 50 people on Greenfield's Town Common at Court Square. We recited the names of the members of the trans community who we have lost due to transphobic violence over the past year. We had several songs, like you mentioned, as well as a moment of silence and a community speak out for people to share their thoughts on the day and any feelings that they had relating to that, or also to celebrate a a success at our state house, winning the for the trans equal rights bill being passed today.
Yeah, we just talked. We talked about that on the car ride on the way down. So it's very exciting. So now, why do you do this kind of work? Is it okay if I say you are not one of the youth in the room?
I am not one of the youth.
It doesn't mean that you are not young looking and stunning and moving to Hawaii.
Yes.
But as a professional in this field, why are you committed to this work? Stop laughing at her.
The effects, the mental health and other health impacts because of the stigma and the discrimination that LGBTQ youth face were something that I started pursuing in a research capacity in college. Mm-hmm. And after I graduated, there was this excellent job opportunity in Massachusetts to work in a youth programs space that had programming for LGBTQ youth. And so while I originally was working in a different capacity, when the job position opened up to be directly working with youth and to build their leadership skills and to, get, you know, help their involvement in their community, was just a no-brainer. I had already made, you know, great connections to the young people in the space, and it's just something that I've enjoyed doing for the last 3 years.
So rumor has it, and by rumor I mean they announced it to everybody like 2 minutes ago, that you are perhaps leaving. What about this specific community here? I mean, you'll find all these other amazing communities to work with, but what will you miss specific to this community?
You know, the Pioneer Valley is a place that was really, it was a very quick feeling of home to me. I've lived all over the country, but this is one place that just the connections I've made with people and the just the enthusiasm and just passion that people have for social justice and for you know, bettering the lives of all people is something I hope to find everywhere as well.
She did an okay job. She did. They're nodding. They can't hear you nod on the radio. She did an okay job.
Yes.
Yeah, she did a great job. Thank you so much for the work that you do. All right, who's next? We're just going to keep going. There's so many people to talk to, folks. This is so exciting. Yay, come on over. Tell me your first name and your age if you're comfortable.
I'm Caleb. I'm 16.
And what did you have to do with this event, Caleb?
I helped plan it, and we did the candlelight vigil, and I came up with the idea to have a candle lit for the whole time.
Oh, you did. That's right. And you were kind of leading the pack.
I guess so.
You were. You got to take advantage of that. I was leading the pack. It's a resume builder. So okay. Why did you want to get involved with all of this?
Well, I'm trans, and so it's really important to have rights. And I think that's really cool that we're doing that.
And how did what happened in the Massachusetts House today affect you? How did that make you feel?
It's really nice. I'm protected in Northampton, and now it's nice to know that I'm protected everywhere.
Look at that. There's more in the state than Northampton? I did not know that. Look at that. Greenfield, it's like its own place. So what other events would you like to see happen?
Well, we did a trans intergenerational dinner, and I would love to do that again.
Wow. That's really great. We were talking on last week's show about how there's not enough contact between the different generations. So you guys did one of those already?
Yeah, we did it in August 27th.
And what generations were represented?
Most generations, I think. We had some youth and some elderly, and then some in between.
Okay. I'm in between, right? I'm not elderly?
Yes.
Just checking. We won't edit this out then. Caleb, you're going to keep doing events like this? These events are important.
Yes.
Okay.
I hope so.
Great. Thank you so much, Caleb. Who's next? I love this. I'm not even going to hit the pause button. We're just going to keep talking to people. Tell me your name and what you had to do with this and your age if you're comfortable.
I'm Leah, and I'm 15. I helped in the planning of this event, and I also was I participated tonight at the candle vigil.
What was the candle vigil like for you?
It was really sad hearing all the names and like thinking about all the loss that's happened. Yeah. But it's happy to know that our community can come together like this.
And I don't know if you guys all saw, there were a ton of people that were just walking by that had absolutely nothing to do with the event who stopped and watched. And that really does make a difference. And I know you're very focused inward because you guys were so in that moment. But I hope that you know that there were a ton of folks walking by who stopped. So how does that make you feel to have all these people just see, okay, this is a public event?
It makes me really happy to know that people could walk by and get information and like really hear about what's actually happening around the world.
Great. And trying to think, what else? What else would you like to tell everyone about the Massachusetts House of Representatives today, the whole state house that made a difference?
I'm really happy that the bill was passed because I think equal rights are needed all over.
And what do you have to say to my colleagues who say things like, well, youth don't really have a voice and this is really for older people to take care of? I don't like calling them colleagues, but I have to be nice on my own show.
We're here and we're really trying to get things done. And
so great. That's great. Thank you so much. Oh, this is so exciting. I need to go do more things now. You ready?
I'm ready.
You feel like you're emotionally built up for this?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know you didn't want to go first.
But
fourth, that's the place to be.
I thought so.
And third or whatever position everybody else went. Those are good places too. Tell everyone your name and what you did here tonight.
I'm Katha, and I helped organize. I'm the trans health peer leader at Gen Q in Northampton. So I played a role in the organization of this event.
And what sticks out for you about tonight, other than just the amazing radio show host that you met?
I think that it was pretty amazing to see people come out after a rainy, kind of gross day and show up and really, like, be here and be present. And just the way that, like, our community gathers when we need to is pretty amazing and, like, pretty wonderful thing to watch happen.
Yeah. How much do you have a sense of how trans communities are in other parts of the country?
I've lived here for my whole life, and I'm a little bit scared about leaving. I'm going to college next year, and I've been, like, thinking about what does this mean for me, like, leaving this bubble. And I think that it's really important for people to be really visible in other places, but I honestly, like, don't have very much experience.
Have you had the opportunity now? I work in colleges, so this is my field. Have you had the opportunity to connect with other trans folks who are going to the college that you will be attending?
I'm not sure what college I'm attending.
Okay, let's decide right now. Group, you don't get to play. Group!
What are the choices?
What are the choices? This is so exciting. I've never done this on my show. Pick someone's college for them. You know that this is binding, right? This is binding.
Of course.
I have colleagues. Okay, what are the choices?
I might not actually remember them all.
Okay.
A little bit embarrassing.
Just give us one, because that's the one we're picking.
Sarah Lawrence.
Ah! I worked for 4 years at Sarah Lawrence College. It's a little expensive. What else you got?
Bennington.
Love Bennington.
Warren Wilson.
Love. Okay. Can we agree? There was a fist pump at Warren Wilson over there. Are we all settled on Warren Wilson? Can we endorse that?
No, keep going.
Are there any more?
I can't remember, honestly. It's like...
Okay. And you're totally... I love that you're so comfortable with the fact that we are deciding for you which college you're going to.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't gotten in yet, so like...
Oh my God. Such a technicality. I can make some calls. I don't know anyone. But Warren Wilson, fist pump in the corner. I think it's Warren Wilson. Congratulations. You go to Warren Wilson. This is a huge night for all of us. That's a great place, too. So let me ask you, how much does the geographical area that you would be going to college impact your decision? Because Bennington is very different from New York City, which is very different from Asheville, North Carolina. South Carolina? North Carolina? Right. It's a Carolina. There are two. it's one of those two. How much do you put stock in that? Like, do you look into the geographical area you're going to be going to?
I didn't as much look at, like, the area, but I definitely looked at the campus politics. And I think a big thing was, like, the anti-discrimination policies that the colleges had and like, what they included and what wording they chose. And that was definitely something that I looked at.
Now, where did the Sarah Lawrence College policy protecting for gender identity or its expression come from? That was me. I wrote that.
Nice work.
Yes, this is for all of you to know that now. But you're going to, I think we decided on Warren Wilson.
I hear that.
Okay. Do you need to make any calls now or tell anyone? Or we can call your family.
My dad's right there.
Okay.
I guess he's got the memo.
Warren Wilson. Very strong work program. I can't get you any money to get in there, but the whole group endorses it, which should get you through at least a semester. So that should be great. All right. No, but that's really important. I think I have a lot of colleagues who work at colleges who say that incoming students, aren't looking at what the climate is like for LGBT students before they come. But that's totally not true, right?
Right. I mean, that was a pretty big factor.
All right. That was Katha, everybody. Warren Wilson, class of 2016. Awesome. Yay. That's great. I would like to pause right now and ask for a kickback from Warren Wilson College. Thank you very much. Who's next? Come on up.
Hey.
Tell me your name and what you're doing here.
My name is VJ. I am a peer leader with Generation Q. Not Tree, just Generation Q.
And what does being a peer leader mean?
Well, it depends. Just like Katha had said before, he is the trans health peer leader. I am the safer sex and risk reduction peer leader.
Great. And how fulfilling is this for you? Because you could be doing a million other things. So many shows on Hulu. But you are here right now. Why are you here as opposed to other things?
I've been with Generation Q for 8 years.
Wow, and, that's great.
And like I say to most people, I'm not leaving until they kick me out, until I'm too old.
Are we close to that right now? Are we good? She can stay? They're not looking here, so you're good. You can stay.
And tonight is our third annual Transgender Day of Remembrance, and I had some part in helping them kind of put it together, so I wasn't just gonna say, hey, I can help you and leave. It's also a great event, and the people here are wonderful.
And you read a poem.
I did.
Where'd your poem go?
I think it's on my seat.
Is it on the wall? Would you be willing to do a very impromptu reading of your poem? I know you already did it, but look, it's right there on the wall. We've never done live performance. We've had the show for 3 years.
I could do that.
It's crazy when the host puts some pressure. Oh, this is great. Okay, everybody get in the moment. Here we go.
All right. Just saying, this is a untitled poem. And I wrote it. I read it and wrote it last year and performed it then. Dan or Danielle, what is your name? And what if I told you it was all the same to me? I'm not looking for the D to go with the E-L-L-E just right, or checking to see if your pants are too tight or too baggy for the likes of me. Because who am I? I tread on male and female ice, not checking for cracks or boundaries, just comfort between the two, the pink and blue. And you are such a hero to me, standing your ground for who you're destined to be, getting knocked down and pushed around, and pushing the will to carry on. How many have to die before people will unite as one to stand against the loaded gun, the angry son of a transphobic man, hands ready to take the kill, enraged fists seeking a victim with a certain swish or flick of the wrist? When will we stop throwing eggs at those who question what's between their legs? Should it be accepted, and why is it there? Why do we dare them to prove themselves to us when we are unsure of who we are? I didn't know you, Stacey Lee, but I loved you for you. You shine with the golden intensity of the sun, but your beauty was extinguished when your boyfriend found you dead. And Mariah, if that was your chosen name, they didn't understand that you moved with such a swagger that it shook the San Francisco streets. My brothers and sisters, we remember you. This is why the candle's flame dances when we say your names.
Thank you so much. Not just, I mean, people write things and they put them out there, but to write it and read it and to read it twice in one night, I am so appreciative, and we're all appreciative. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck. Who's next? Come on over. Tell me your name and what you're doing here.
Alyssa, and I'm the outreach peer leader for Greenfield.
And what does that mean?
I'm in charge of planning, helping put up flyers, getting the word out about our programs.
Great. And what was your involvement for today? Did you put out the word about this event?
Yeah, I put up a lot of flyers and spread the word.
Now, there are a lot of adult LGBT and straight communities, ally communities, who are not doing events like this. And they should be, right? We agree they should be.
Yep.
What does it mean, do you think, when an event is so driven by youth like this one is?
It means that there will hopefully be a lot more to come, so.
Look at that. That was a good answer. That was a good answer. And what else would you like to see happen? What events do we have coming up?
Well, as you know, we just had our intergenerational trans dinner, and, well, all of our peer leaders should be planning more exciting events. We are all very eager to plan lots of new things.
And when they plan them, you know who puts out the word about them?
Yep, I will put it out.
You know where to put the posters. You know where to put everything. That's a really important role. Thank you so much for doing that. You're going to keep doing this?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Who else? Anybody else want to come over and talk? I mean, sure. That's like a great endorsement of coming to talk. Tell me your name and what you're doing here.
My name is Polly, and I'm a peer leader at Generation Q also.
And what does that mean to you?
Well, I'm also a sexual health and risk reduction peer leader. So I work with BJ. We make, we have heart tables, health education and risk reduction team. That's what that stands for, our table.
Great.
And
great. So you are out there doing some education.
Yeah. It's a really, it's really important to me.
What are you finding that your peers need to know more about?
Oh.
Oh, boy. It's not that long of a show, huh? What has surprised you? What are some interactions that surprised you where you thought to yourself, wow, really thought you would have known that?
I think what's really important today is discussing consent, discussing things like sex positivity. Similarly, slut positivity. There is the slut walks that happened in Northampton.
Yeah, yeah.
That were renamed the Stomp and Holler. And even going to that, I was like, oh, my politics are a little too radical for this. Because it was a lot of, like, there was a lot of gendering that was going on that was, like, pretty uncomfortable. But, so, let's see. Consent, sex positivity. Yep.
Those are big ones.
Those are big ones. Yeah.
Those are big ones. Do you feel like, I feel like you've seen some of those light bulb moments, though, where you put out material or you've talked to someone and they've said, oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Totally. Yeah. I made a sort of tour of the heart table, which has things like condoms and brochures, just general resources to have at our group, so anyone can, like, grab a few condoms if they want one or they want to give their friends one, because, you know. And someone said to me after the tour of explaining, like, what is HIV? What is HIV prevention? Why do we have HIV prevention? Why do we have things on hepatitis? Mm-hmm. And it was, someone said to me, wow, that was better sex ed than I've ever gotten in school. And I was like, so, like, oh my God, blown away. I felt really good about it.
That is great. Now, you're going to keep doing education?
Well, I'm planning on going to art school, but...
Art kids need education?
Yes. I mean, I will continue to educate because it's something I'm really passionate about for myself, to educate myself on these issues. So, yeah, I assume I will be educating others as well.
Don't assume it. We committed to do it right on this show is So Gay on this week's episode. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing. All right, Dad, come here. Let's go. Dad, slowly walk on over, and he's here. Tell everybody who you are, what you're doing here.
I'm Kaitha's dad, Glenn.
First of all, congratulations on the Warren Wilson admission. We're all really excited about that. It's a great school.
You're going to be passing the hat, right?
Yeah. I'll be working on that. Yeah. Schools are free these days, aren't they? Not so much, Glenn.
Almost, yeah.
So, I mean, as a father of someone who is here, what is your experience like in seeing Kaitha and Kaitha's unbelievable involvement and advocacy and energy and education powers in an event like this?
I'm very proud of Kaitha and all his involvement in social justice, and it's been really important to him to have a community, and not just a community to sort of sit around with and share stories or whatever, but to actually get together and pool their strengths and go out and do education, try to make a difference, and that's what he intends to do when he goes off to college also.
What do you have to say to other parents? Because we get a lot of emails every single day from kids all across the country that are just struggling with their parents, in particular trans kids who wish they had a Glenn. And we are starting to get more parents who listen in who are looking for advice. What would you say to parents who could perhaps be a little bit more supportive?
Well, I think it's realizing that your kid is your kid. And changes maybe in how they identify or what body type they're comfortable with or any of those issues, it's still the same person. And I guess it seems too simple, but you can't get hung up on the superficialities.
Great. All right. So everybody's got a lesson to learn from Glenn. Glenn, thank you for being here and for everything you've done.
Sure.
Okay. A reluctant father skulks away from the microphone. Anybody else? Anybody who did any art? You sang. Get over here. What? You must be kidding me that you think that I'm just going to be in a black trench coat and blend in, because that's going to happen. Tell everybody your name.
I'm Zoe Sals.
And what are you doing here, Zoe?
Well, I came as part of Gen Q, and I sang just a little while ago.
You know, now, I don't know how many people in the room know Dar Williams. You know how much you sound like Dar Williams, right? There's no way that I'm the first person to tell you that.
Oh, well, I mean, I tend to parrot whoever I'm, like, singing, like, whoever voice I'm, like, singing off of, so, like,
don't downplay it. You said, that was incredible. So we got BJ to read the poem over there. Can we get a couple bars?
Oh.
What you didn't know is that's one of my favorite songs, and I will play that song on tonight's show for everyone. Well, and actually, this is something that we do in every show. We have one of our guests talk about why a song is important to them. Tell everyone, our whole listening audience, why that song. Tell everyone which song you sang and why it's important to you.
I sang "When I Was a Boy" by Dar Williams, and I sang it because I think it fits in really well with the Trans Remembrance Day, and the song is about how society tries to fit children into, like, this gender stereotype. And I think it's really important to realize that, you know, not every kid can fit into that box.
Right. Can you do a couple bars for us?
Okay. I will do first verse and chorus.
Yay! Okay, here we go. I've never done a live performance on this show. I have to come out of Vermont more often. Here we go.
I won't forget when Peter Pan came to my house, took my hand. I said I was a boy, I'm glad he didn't check. I learned to fly, I learned to fight, I lived a whole life in one night. We saved each other's lives out on the pirate deck. And I remember that night when leaving a late night with some friends, and I hear somebody tell me it's not safe, someone should help me. I need to find a nice man to walk me home. When I was a boy, I scared the pants off of my mom, climbed what I could climb upon. And I don't know how I survived, I guess I knew the tricks that all boys knew. And you can walk me home, but I was a boy too.
Round of applause, please. That was amazing. Is this your first time today singing on a national gay radio show?
Yes. Okay. It's my first time ever singing.
Oh, it's your first time today. It won't be your last. That was fantastic. Thank you so much.
You.
Well, let's not overestimate the show, people. But yes, thank you so much.
No
thank
problem.
You for lending your voice. All right. That is it from us here in Greenfield. Thank you, guys. Thank you all for all the work that you are doing.
When Peter Pan came to my house, took my hand, I said I was a boy, I'm glad he didn't check. I learned to fly, I learned to fight, I lived a whole life in one night. We saved each other's lives out on the pirate deck. And I remember that night when leaving a late night with some friends, and I hear somebody tell me it's not safe, someone should help me. I need to find a nice man to walk me home. When I was a boy, I scared the pants off of my mom, climbed what I could climb up all alone. And I don't know how I survived, I guess I knew the tricks that all boys knew. And you can walk me home, but I was a boy too. I was a kid that you would like,
Just a small boy on her bike, riding topless, yeah, I never cared who saw. My neighbor came outside to say, get your shirt. I said, no way, it's the last time, I am not breaking any law. And now I'm in this clothing store, and the sign said less is more. More that's tight means more to see. More for them, not more for me. That could help me climb a tree 10 seconds flat when I was a boy. See that picture, that was me. Grass stained shirt and dusty knees. And I know things they gotta change. They got pills to sell, they got implants to put in, they got implants to remove. But I am not forgetting that I was a boy too. The woods where I would creep, but it's a secret I can keep. Except when I'm tired, except when I'm being cut off guard. I've had a lonesome, awful day. The conversation finds its way to catching fireflies out in the backyard. And so I tell the man I'm with about the other life I lived. And I say, now yours have gone. I have lost and you have won. And he says, oh no, can't you see? When I was a girl, my mom and I, we always talked. And I picked flowers everywhere that I walked. And I could always cry. Now even when I'm alone, I seldom do. And I have lost some kindness, but I was a girl too, and you were just like me, and I was just like you.
All right, folks, and we are back. We are driving home from Greenfield from the Trans Day of Remembrance. How great was that?
That was fast.
That was great. All right, we're gonna pass this around, and everybody is going to talk about their experience at the Trans Day of Remembrance. And, of course, as we naturally would, we'll start with Justin.
Oh, there was a very good turnout, which was really exciting. There was definitely a lot of youth. And I met a couple people, which is always good. There was a few performances, pretty quick. We missed the vigil, so I can't comment on that, unfortunately. But, you know, good turnout, support. It was positive.
Great. Can I actually ask you, so meeting a couple people would hear that and say, okay, what's the big deal? You met a couple people. But not the easiest thing to do in the whole wide world.
It's not easy to meet people. It's hard to kind of, I find, to break out of my little group of friends, which is safe, but I know it's really important to put myself out there, and you know, maybe I'll see that person another time and we'll have that connection, and maybe we'll form another connection. It could go somewhere else.
Because we actually hear that a lot from the youth that write in from all over the country and talk about that they find it might be a trans youth who says, I have this really small group of trans friends and I'm so nervous to meet everybody else, exactly for the word that you put out there about the word safe. And that's a really important word when it comes to meeting people.
Yep.
There you go. All right, HB, you take the mic and tell us about your experience at the Trans Day of Remembrance.
I feel like this is the first time I feel like I'm on, well, not the first time I feel like I'm on the radio, but I was like a correspondent handing over the mic. Yeah. I was about to be like, thanks, Ken.
And now, HB in the field.
It was good. I was so nervous when we got into that building. So there was a vigil that was outside, and as Justin said, we missed it. And then there was like a reception and hangout time at this community center. And I never, sometimes when I get nervous going to things like that, I can never sometimes tell if it's like me remembering how I felt when I was a queer youth at a queer youth event and like being really nervous and awkward, or if I'm feeling nervous for me now, or, you know, it's like, I don't know, what kind of what Justin was saying, like meeting people is hard and scary, but fun. And I had a really good time, and I did end up meeting some people who were friends of friends that I didn't ever know that I was going to know them. And some people who were friends of friends that I had been wanting to meet. And one person who at the very end when we were leaving said, "Do you know this person? I think I've seen your pictures on Facebook." And I was kind of embarrassed, but also that was really fun. Yeah, it was good. I'm really glad that we went. And people who were excited that we had come down from Brattleboro, they were like, "Oh, you came down from Brattleboro just for this one thing?" So that was nice, kind of, you know, community building.
Great. Alex?
Please hold the mic as I am driving. I'm trying to think how I felt. I think I was a little bit distracted by the meeting of new people and seeing friends I haven't seen in a long time, that I wasn't really feeling the solemnness of the moment as much as the kind of excitement of new community, the excitement of seeing queer youth in a, like, formal collective space. So there is this queer youth group called Gen Q out of Community Action in Greenfield that was one of the sponsors of the events. And it was just amazing that there's a space for that and so many trans youth that... when I was growing, like where I grew up, we didn't have anything like that. And so it's just amazing to have folks that are, you know, still in high school out and leading their community and putting on events and being really visible. I just am really appreciative of that. And this one person sang a Dar Williams song, and that I loved it. It was so good. It was the Dar
she
Williams.
She actually sang it on the air, so you're going to hear that. That was in the previous segment. I got her to do it again.
There was also... wait, were you done?
I'm done.
Oh. I was just going to say, it was also really exciting that not only youth were there, but youth were there with their parents. Which was
totally
really cool.
And I got their parents on the air.
I know. And maybe, yeah, it was, that part was really awesome.
Great. Now, what, in talking about this, the solemnness of the event, now, as everybody in the car said, we missed the candlelight. We were there at the end, and we were obviously pretty unobtrusive when we walked in, because it was kind of a solemn experience. How do you connect on a daily basis with that solemn experience? Because what we are talking about, look, there was an amazing poem that you guys heard earlier, and the young Dar Williams 2.0 sang, and that was amazing, and there was just a great spirit and celebrating what happened in Massachusetts today. But then there's the part where so many trans youth, trans adults have been murdered, and this is our opportunity to remember them. How do we carry that with us? I know it's kind of a heady question for the end of the night as we drive home. How do we carry that with us on a daily basis? Because not every day is Trans Day of Remembrance. You want to take that one, HB?
I shouldn't have started that response with a laugh. It was like a nervous laughter. I don't know. I think it's important to remember, but I like that this event was celebrating and solemn, because I think it's important to do both of those things. I don't know. I guess the way that I carry it with me all the time is, I don't know, I guess like being protective of people and thinking about things that, I don't know, like bad things that can happen to people and ways to keep that from happening. And I think that this event is as much about visibility and remembering to people who don't go as it is a place to remember and build community for people who are there. Yeah.
Alex? How do we take this with us tomorrow?
Yeah, thinking. I think for me, I haven't had very many personal really, like, explicitly awful experiences as a queer person and as a genderqueer person, and sometimes I'm like, well, maybe we go overboard in, like, creating safe spaces, and then it's things like this, I'm like, nope, we all need that, and, like, specifically trans people, specifically, like, trans women of color, specifically, like, all sorts of things, and all sorts of folks need places where they can feel safe and feel seen in the way that they want to be seen, and so I think it reminds me that there's still so much work to do for community safety and, you know, specifically for trans folks, but for a lot of people out there that aren't safe in their skin and in their body and in the world. And so just to remember that that's real every day, and that doesn't mean we have to be defeated about that, that we can, like, celebrate and love ourselves and love each other in order to create that safety, but just to kind of hold with it that it is really important to create those spaces and to widen those spaces so eventually everywhere is that space.
And Justin, can I put you on the spot a little bit more?
Yeah.
All right, because, you know, we're in the car and you kind of can't get out. So what about visibility? How important is visibility right now for the trans community? And I'm not asking you to speak for the entirety of the trans community, but just visibility, it kind of goes in both ways. Because on the one hand, yeah, there are threats of violence. But on the other hand, until we can provide a place where, and we, everybody, provides a place where it is safe to be more visible, it's hard to really create the change that we want to see for all of our communities.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think visibility is very important, and regarding this event, I think this is good for all of us to get together and remember to be proud of who we are and the way we live our lives, and that will hopefully give us all courage to try to be a little more out there when it's safe and talking to people and, you know, making other people aware of who we are, our struggle, and I think that will, you know, kind of spread to other people and eventually make places more safe for us.
And can we talk a little bit more about safety? Because I think this is one of those topics that we can't pay enough attention to. Can you guys tell me some of the things that you look for when you enter into a new situation to decide if it is safe to be trans, to be genderqueer, to be someone who only goes by two letters in their... I'm just saying, as an example, we want that to be safe. So, not to use any names, HB.
What do you look for in an environment?
What do I look for? I wish that sometimes people in trans and gender nonconforming communities didn't talk about bathrooms so much. Like, I feel like that's kind of like an overused thing, you know? Like, how much poetry have we heard about how hard it is to go to the bathroom? But that's what I'm going to talk about. And, because it is hard, and that's maybe why everybody talks about it, because it is hard and scary. And, so that's, if I'm in a public space, that's one of the first things that I look for is, if they have gender neutral bathrooms or, like, all gender bathrooms. We were, I was on a road trip to Maine, this past weekend, and the two gas stations that we stopped in had, like, family bathrooms, which was really, like, put me really at ease. And, all of the rest areas along the highway in Maine all have gender-neutral bathrooms, which is really awesome. But if you want more gender-neutral bathrooms, what is it called? It's like safe2p.org. Yeah, but the number 2 has... It's like a crowdsourced list of trans-safe bathrooms kind of all over the country. You know, like if you see a cafe or whatever that has gender-neutral bathrooms, you can put it up there, and then other folks that want to use that can go there and find out where they are. So I feel like that's one thing that I look for, which is easy. Or, Ken mentioned my name, and, that is another way, you know, like if a lot of people are asking, oh, like, what does that stand for? What's your real name? Or like sometimes those questions are tip offs to me that it maybe is not going to be that much fun for me to be there. And sometimes not.
Oh, see, I already assumed I knew what it stood for. I already told people.
Honey bunny?
hella beautiful.
Ooh.
Alex, safety?
Yeah, I was just thinking while HP was talking about, like, the difference between feeling safe and feeling welcome.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things for me is, like, not being the only queer person in a space makes it feel safe. And because there's times where I've felt welcome as a queer person and as a genderqueer person, and often that then results in, like, talking about that all the time in a pointed way towards me, where, like, that's what I have to talk about because that's how the only way I'm seen. And that sense, it's, like, kind of welcome that I'm a bit queer, but not safe. So,
distinction.
Yeah, I think there's something about numbers and something about acknowledging without proving that you can talk about queer issues, and without, like, singling people out and seeing them only as their, like, gender or sexual orientation or whatever. So, yeah, that's something that I think about. I think my first reaction was, like, oh, like, seeing myself reflected in certain ways makes me feel safe, and I think that's, like, maybe a general thing that people feel. And I think that comes in a lot of, like, shapes and forms of, like, how, what I want to see in spaces, but I think, like, general diversity in, like, I think things like diversity in age and, like, race and class and gender and, like, clothing styles and things like that make me feel safer to be, like, my non-conforming gender, because there's not everyone is exactly the same. So non-homogeneous spaces in general, I guess, make me feel safe, whether or not there are other queer folks there. So that's going to contradict the first thing I said. Think about it.
That's what we do here on this show. Justin, anything you look for when you enter a new situation to decide if it's safe?
The first thing I do is look at people and how they're looking at me. If I'm getting really weird looks or people are staring at me, then I know that they're probably confused, and that could mean that I'm not going to feel safe there. And I judge by interactions, especially at a place of business. If the people who work there or the owners are not able to be comfortable and friendly with me, then it's probably not a place I want to go to.
Yeah, and I think that we all have a role in that. I think we all have a role in doing whatever it is that we can do to make these places safe. Because yeah. I don't think that, well, obviously it just falls to the trans folks. They got to speak up. No, it falls to all of us. There's no way that you can ignore that. There is an inherent safety risk in certain situations, and we all have that responsibility. But can we at least say, because we got to end on a hope, a place of hope, I think it's easy for us to just gloss over the fact that this event that we went to tonight, Candlelight Vigil and songs and poems and letters to legislators about the great work that they did today and the food and the artwork on the walls, which we can't really show on the radio, that all of these different things, oh, look at the adults that put this together. No, wait a second. Look at the youth that put this together. And we can't, isn't that a yay?
Yay!
We can't really quickly move past the fact that as I was interviewing all those youths, just one after another, youth after youth after youth, you just sit here and think, holy cow, this really is going to be such a better place in just a few years, you know? And there is a whole different climate that's going to be created because you have these youth who are not just knowledgeable. I think, look, we're doing a lot better so that more youth are knowledgeable. These youth that we talked to tonight, that we saw tonight, they're not just knowledgeable. They're actually actively making a difference and bringing visibility and challenging places that are not safe for all kids and telling legislators, hey, we have a voice and we have something to say to this community. That's going to create a better place, don't we think?
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
I love them.
And yeah. I'm grateful for them.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yes.
Inspired by.
Oh, inspired to a ridiculous degree. Also to the degree where I'm like, oh crap, I don't think I did enough in high school. But there's that too.
Not about you, Ken.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying and I see you and validate you. All right. I think that actually wraps things up for this week's episode. We were on the road this week,
yay!
Folks. on the road. I don't think we have the copyright to that. So, get out there, folks. As always, first of all, drop us a line at thisshowisogay@AOL.com. If you have a community event that you want this car full of queers to come to,
let us know.
We will be there. We will come to your town as
send
long as it's...
Send me plane tickets.
Yes. So either send us plane tickets, or if you have an event that's within a few minutes, we'll go. And we'll do a whole show from there. So send us an email, thisshowisogay@AOL.com. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to learn all about the fun things going on with the show. And my hope is that soon as they write a couple sentences bio, you will see HB and Alex on the co-host page. I already have the picture ready to go. And go to the Facebook. You're already there. You should be working, but as long as you're not, go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us. Because we sure as heck like you. Any words from Arrow and Dreidel? They are sleeping, but they are so for trans people. So, we are going to sign out for this week's show. Go out there. Oh, you've never done the sign up before, Justin.
Nope.
Okay, so the key phrase that you need to know is so gay. You'll know when to do it. Trust me. So get out there, folks. Go do what you can to support the youth in your community. They are desperately trying to make a difference, but they might need your support. So they might not. They might be like, you know what? I don't really need your support. I'm just doing it. But go support the youth. See what you can do to make the environment that you are in safer. If everybody makes their own environment safer, it's just going to be a safer place, just really, in this whole wide world. So go out there, make a difference, and while you're doing all these things, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
Would you love me better if I was a boy? If I had grown up to be a man? Would you feel happy being there with me? Would it feel safe to hold my hand? Would I be allowed to love anyone at all? Could I wear what I wanted to? We could kiss in sunlight, slow dance until dawn, making plans that fear could not undo. If my hair was shorter, if my clothes were different, if my voice was deeper, if I could play ball.